Chapter 6. Nero, the Cruel Persecutor of the Christians. In the previous chapter, we told you that Christianity continually extended itself, and yet the Church of God did not have it easy. Oh no, the opposite is true. The powers of hell have endeavored to wipe out the Church of God. Not only were the Jews fierce enemies of Christianity, but also the heathens and the Roman emperors have tried everything to blot out from the earth those hated and despised followers of Jesus of Nazareth. Terribly and inhumanely have those Christians been persecuted. They were hunted as wild animals. Nowhere were they safe. There was nothing which offered them a safe hiding place. There was almost no room for them upon earth. Well then, in the following chapters, we hope to tell you a few things about those persecutions. One of the first emperors who aimed at banishing the Christians out of this world was Nero. We shall try to tell you a few things about him. I cannot tell you anything nice about him, because Nero was an evil, wicked emperor. He was cruel, without an equal. He knew no pity. Many people have been murdered by him in cold blood. Even his nearest relations were not safe with him. At one time, a great feast was celebrated in his palace. At this banquet, a cup of wine was offered to his brother. Without suspecting anything, this man emptied this cup of wine. But that cost him his life, because Nero had the wine strongly poisoned. Hardly had his brother emptied that cup of wine, or he writhed with terrible pain. A horrid paleness covered his face. With a groan, he collapsed. Now he noticed that the wine was poisoned, but it was already too late. A few moments later, he died. Thus Nero had become a brother murderer. But that was not the end of it. He was married to a noble woman. Her name was Octavia. But the cruel Nero did not like her, and he had her murdered so that he could marry another woman. Horrible, isn't it? Even his own mother was not safe with him. He was afraid that she would thrust him from the throne. For that reason, he also had her murdered. Some say that one day she went out on a pleasure trip on the Mediterranean Sea. Suddenly, several sailors took hold of her and cast her overboard into the water. Nero had commanded that before they left the harbor. When, in mortal fear, the poor woman grabbed hold of the side of the boat, they killed her with clubs. The vessel returned without that woman, and Nero grinned cruelly. He had obtained his wish. She could no more harm him. When Nero was still a boy, he was instructed by the intelligent, learned teacher, Seneca. Now then, later on, he had his own teacher murdered. What pupil would really do that? From all this, it is clear that Nero was a monster of wickedness. Thus, he was the murderer of his brother, his wife, his mother, and teacher. Can it be worse? And that man was ruler over the large Roman Empire. He lived in the worst sins. The noble Romans cried shame upon it. Hence it is no wonder that everyone trembled before that cruel man. If one of the courtiers did something wrong, or it did not please the emperor, then that cost him his life. If one of his friends made him angry, then the sentence of death was pronounced upon him. No one was safe with him. No one was certain of his life, even for a moment. A human life had no value with him. Now we know a little of what Nero was like. Although the Romans feared him, yet they did not like him. How could they? Fire! Fire! Listen, that dismal cry is heard in the streets of Rome. In mortal fear, the people run out of their houses into the streets. In those days, fire was something terrible. Most of the houses were built of wood, and for that reason it was so difficult to extinguish a fire. This fire in Rome could not be extinguished. Listen to how those flames roar. Listen to the terrifying crackling of the wooden houses. Everyone flees before the destroying blaze. The desperate people crowd themselves in the narrow streets. Mothers lose their children in that wild throng. A fearful cry for help is heard everywhere. Whoever accidentally stumbles and falls is lost. Those unhappy ones are hopelessly trampled upon by the forward-pushing crowd. It also happens that many become surrounded by the flames and are burned alive. Sick ones who cannot flee become a prey to the flames. Feeble ones, aged ones, children find death in the glaring blaze. What an incredible misery! All of Rome has been plunged into mourning and grief. Rich merchants behold their valuable possessions turn into ashes in a moment. Treasures are lost. It is out of the question to extinguish the fire. Day and night the fire rages undiminished. The greatest part of Rome is soon a smoking heap of rubbish. At night especially, it is a frightful sight. Then the red glare is visible for miles all around. And, so it is told, while the fire raged most furiously, while thousands of desperate people fled through the streets in a indescribable panic, the Emperor Nero climbed to the roof of his palace and enjoyed the wonderful sight of the flames. He thought it was beautiful. He had never seen anything like that before. Who has done that? That is the question everywhere. Who is guilty of this terrible disaster? They ask and inquire. Soon it is mentioned from mouth to mouth. Nero, the emperor, has purposely set Rome on fire. Whether that was true, I do not know. But what did the people of Rome whisper? One who dares to murder his wife, his brother, his own mother, and his teacher also dares to set fire to Rome. The people did not trust Nero, and when those rumors were circulated, they were believed by them. They said, "It is quite possible." Many fists were clenched. Many cursed their emperor. Nero heard that such things are being said about him. He hears that they suspect him of having set fire to Rome. He is conscious of the hate and bitterness whereby he is surrounded. This frightens him. No, no, that may not be. He fears that the people shall revolt. He fears that the furious people shall kill him. He gives immediate command that every effort shall be made with all means at hand to put the fire out. But it is too late. It is impossible to quench the fire. That sea of fire spreads ever further, irresistible, devastating. Everything is destroyed. Nero has offerings brought to the gods, so that they may become favorably disposed, and that the fire may be checked. He provides for the poor victims. At his command, food and clothing are distributed among them. Oh, he does his utmost to get rid of those stories about him. The people of Rome may not imagine that he is the cause of all that misery. But whatever Nero does, however much he tries to cast the blame from him, it is of no use. The inhabitants of Rome do not trust him. They consider him capable of that. They say, yes, yes, the emperor may now be very nice and pleasant, yet he is the cause of it all. He nevertheless had purposely set the city on fire, and now, of course, he wants to make things good again. That terrible fire lasts for 9 days in succession, and when finally the flames have spent themselves and are extinguished, then Rome is laid waste. Rome's emperor says, "Oh, that is not so bad. We will have the city rebuilt again. Rome shall rise nicer and more beautiful out of the ashes." Indeed, Nero gives the command to start the work. Every effort is used toward the work. A new city arises where the old one stood. Long, broad streets are constructed. New Rome becomes much nicer and larger than old Rome. But everything which Nero does is in vain. The people continue to believe that he is the one who willfully set fire to the city. They continue to cast the blame upon him. And then Nero plays a mean trick. Finally, he blames the Christians. He says, "Not I, but the Christians are the ones who set the fire." That is a great lie. That is not true. The Christians are not the ones who set the fire. The accusation of Nero is false and mean. What a liar. However, the worst of it is that those slanderous tales are believed by many. The heathen priests spread it further. In this, they see a fine opportunity to cool their hatred upon the innocent Christians and to break their increasing influence. Now a terrible persecution breaks out in Rome. As you already know, for a long time, a flourishing Christian church existed in Rome. The rage of the people turned against them. Thousands of Christians are cruelly killed. Nero himself is the most cruel of all. The most horrible tortures were invented. Many Christians are crucified. Just think of the Apostle Peter, who was crucified with his head down. Others are cast before the wild animals and are torn to pieces. Nero grins falsely. He says, "The Christians are the enemies of the human race. Because they no longer offer to the gods, therefore are the gods angry. They avenge themselves upon us. For that reason, all those calamities come upon us, And if we do not exterminate these Christians to the very last one, then the vengeance of the gods shall continue to strike us. The people believe that. Yea, that might be true. At the command of Nero, some Christians are skinned alive. After that, he has those pitiful ones bound to trees, and then thousands of wasps are let loose upon them. Those little animals fly upon the Christians and sting them all over their bodies. Their groans ascend up to God, who dwells in heaven. This is only one instance. I could tell much more about that, but purposely I will not. I think it is already bad enough. However, I want to tell you one more thing. In restored Rome, there is a festival. Most people like festivals. Rome had been reduced to ashes. Through that disaster, many wealthy Romans had become poor. In many homes, they still mourned about the many victims which had perished in that disaster. But yet, thousands hurried to the gardens of the emperor, because that is the center of the feast. Nero has his people celebrate, so that they shall forget the fright and misery somewhat. They must have some diversion. A great multitude listen attentively to the fine music, which is heard everywhere. It becomes dark, but the feast continues on. They do not think of returning to their homes. But we cannot celebrate a feast in the dark, can we? Then we cannot see any more, can we? That is true. But Nero has seen to it that his extensive gardens shall be brilliantly lighted. Just look. Wooden poles have been set up all along the walks, and a Christian is bound fast to every pole. Those Christians are dressed in white garments, but those garments have been coated with pitch and tar. And when the sun went down and it became dark, those Christians were set on fire by Nero's servants. They formed living torches, whereby the imperial gardens are illuminated. Isn't that terrible? When everywhere the flames blazed up high, while standing in his chariot, Nero rides along the walks between those woeful ones. The people applaud him loudly. Finally, the Christians are burned. The flames go out. The celebrators hasten home through the darkness. They are satisfied. Nero also returns to his palace. But God, the Almighty, who is just, shall avenge all that innocent blood. Soon Nero shall be summoned before God's judgment seat to give an account of all his horrible deeds. And then the smoke of his torment shall go up to all eternity. Listen. What shouting! What an uproar! Shrieks are heard. What is it all about? Look, the streets of Rome are filled with people. They are all going in the direction of the imperial palace. Angry voices are heard. People of Rome have finally revolted against their emperor. Nero did not reign long after that horrible murder of those Christians. The people of Rome will no longer acknowledge him as their emperor. They were offended at his wicked life. They want to kill him. They are tired of him. Everywhere the cry is heard, "Away with that brute! kill him. Now they band together before the palace. Nero flees. In mortal fear, he flees from the furious people. All his former friends have forsaken him. Only one man remained with him, a liberated slave. He, the once powerful emperor, tries to save his life by a hasty flight. But it is of no use. His enemies pursue him. They come ever closer to him. Behind him, he already hears their furious, revengeful cries. Oh, if they catch him, they will tear him in pieces. Nero trembles. The cold sweat stood in beads upon his brow. Where must he go? His pursuers are already right behind him. He bursts into tears and cries like a baby. He does not want to fall alive into the hands of the raging people. In desperation, he grasps a dagger and puts this with the sharp point to his bare chest. He shall kill himself. But now, when it comes to it, he dares not do it. He lacks the courage to thrust the dagger in. He who laughed scornfully at the torture of the Christians, he who mocked at their fear, he who had no compassion with others, but rejoiced in the suffering of others, he lacks the courage to kill himself. Twice already, he has put the point of that dagger to his chest, but twice he lets that murder weapon down again. Truly, he is a coward. He has caused hundreds of innocent people to be put to death, but now that death stares him in the face, he shudders and shrinks back from death. Look, with a trembling hand, he puts the dagger upon his chest for the third time. Then, suddenly, the liberated slave, which remained with him, gives a heavy blow against the dagger. The sharp weapon pierces his heart, and while dying, he slumps down. The cruel persecutor of the Christians dies at the hand of a slave. Shortly after, the pursuers find the corpse of Nero, their former ruler. Behold, that was the end of the cruel, wicked Nero. He died a shameful death. Not that suicide is right. Oh no, suicide is always an act of despair. But we must place this history in its time. The heathens thought altogether different about that than we do. Death by suicide was not considered a dishonorable death by them. But Nero died a dishonorable death because he himself lacked the courage to pierce his heart with the fatal weapon. A slave had to do it yet. In the eye of the Romans, he died not the death of a hero, but he died the death of a coward. Then he was summoned before God's judgment seat. God is righteous. The full weight of the wrath of God shall burn upon his soul to all eternity. In all their sorrows and misery, the Christians were infinitely happier than the mighty ruler of the Romans, who had them led like sheep to the slaughter, because after they died, they entered into eternal glory, but Nero was cast into eternal perdition. Surely there is a God who lives and gives judgment upon the earth. Nero has also experienced that. But that same God still lives, One day the hour of our death will also come, and who knows how soon. And then, let us consider this seriously.